Welcome back to our favorite 30 minutes of the week. Three ideas in 30 minutes to get us ready for the Parsha. We have some spectacular, really spectacular ideas this morning, which I'm so excited to share together with you. I want to first thank our sponsors for this morning. We have a number of them. First of all, Sharon and David Karpel, in loving memory of his beloved mother, Mildred Karpel, Malka Bas Mordechai, on her Yahrzeit. Again, our learning should be as an aliyah for her neshama. Secondly, I want to thank Myrna Hirschhorn for sponsoring this morning in memory of her beloved husband and our beloved former member, Marvin Hirschhorn, Moshe Nassan, on his first Yahrzeit. And as I said yesterday at the Tehillim class, we miss Marvin a lot. He was a big presence here in our shul. Certainly when it came to Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaTzma'ut, he was a fierce lover of Israel, a lover of reading, of learning. And again, we miss him dearly as well. And lastly, I want to thank our series sponsor Nan Misli, in memory of Teddy Kellen, Shimon Tovia Ben Dov, Yehuda Leib Chaim. Our learning should be an aliyah for all three of the beautiful neshamos that we are learning in memory of this morning. Okay, three ideas in 30 minutes. Now, I always tell you, I struggle. Do I share my favorite idea at the beginning, the middle, or the end? Today, we're going to go at the beginning. And it's from an unlikely source that I'm quoting. I usually don't quote him, but it's from the Divrei Yoel, Satmar Rav. Yom HaTzmaut this week, we can quote the Satmar Rav. So the Satmar Rav writes the following observation. Of course, we know this week's Parsha is about Tazria Metzor. It's about the laws of Tzaras. It's about the laws of leprosy, the outcomes of saying Lashon Hara. You're obviously thrown out of the camp. That is one of the consequences of your action, that by you creating separation within the camp, Judaism tells you have to go out of the camp, you have to remain alone to recognize the value of community, the value of being together with people, some really beautiful ideas in that. This idea, however, is quoted again in Parshas Naso. That in Parshas Naso, in Sefer Bamidbar, the Torah tells us, Vayasu Kain Bnei Yisrael, it's talking about cleansing the camp of the Jewish people, and it says that the Jewish people did what they were supposed to do, Vayishalchu Osam El Michutz LaMachana. And they vayishalchu osam. They sent the mitzora out of the camp. Kasher diber Adonai el Moshe, like Hashem told Moshe to do. Kain asu bnei Israel. So that is exactly what the Jewish people did. Now many of the Mefarshim pick up on the redundancy within this pasuk, right? Kasher diber Hashem el Moshe, that they did like Hashem told Moshe. Kain asu bnei Israel. That is what they did. That seems completely repetitive. And again, many of the Mefarshim, the Medrash picks up on that. Why do you need that kefel halashon? Why do you need that repetitive nature of the language? But I want to pick up on a different language. And that's the language of Ayishalchu Osam, that we send the Metzora out. Ask the Divrei Yoel, why specifically is that language used? Why is that language employed? Now we know that there are two languages that can be used for sending a person out. One is Gerushin, right? Ligrosh means to send out. So for example, we say, Yigaresh eschem mizeh. That in the beginning or in the middle of Sefer Shmos, in Parshas Bo, it says that Hashem is going to, or that we're going to be sent out of Mitzrayim. On the other hand, we know that in addition to the language of Gerushin, there's the language of Shlichus, of Vayishalach. So for example, Vayishalach Yaakov Malachim. Yaakov sends angels. Now, both of these terms are employed when the Jewish people leave Mitzrayim, because the pasuk says, "Ki biyad chazaka yishalchem," with a strong hand, I will send them out. Uviyad chazaka yigarshem me'artzo, and with a strong hand, I will yigarshem. Both expressions are mentioned there, and the question is, what is the difference between the two of them? What is the difference between gerushin, to send someone out, to expel someone, and the language of shlichut vayishalach, which also means to send out? And specifically over here, why, when it comes to the mitzora, is the language of vayishalchu osam el michutz machane, that we send them out using the word shalach and not using the word garash? That is our first question this morning. Says the Satmar Rav a beautiful idea. He says, when it comes to gerushin, the word gerush means to send someone out with no destination in mind. In other words, I want to get you out of here, and I don't really care where you are going. The place of your destination is completely irrelevant to me. The only thing I care about at this moment in time is to get you away. So your destination is irrelevant to me. Your destination is unimportant to me. My only goal is Geirushin. I want you to get out of here. We say in Shmuel Aleph, when Shaul was chasing David, David said to him, you chased me away from Eretz Yisrael. Ki Geirshuni Hayom. Right? You sent me away. And that language is used, right? Because he had to get out of there. He had to leave. So says the Satmar Rav, the language of Geirushin is, you have to leave. Where you're going, irrelevant. All that's important is, get out of here. Shlichus, says the Satmar Rav, is a very different idea. Shlichus is not just to leave from point A, but the purpose is also in your destination. It's in the place that you're going that there's a purpose there as well. So when I send a shaliach to go somewhere, it's not just that I want him to leave where I am, but I actually want him to do something where he is going. So, says the Satmar Rav, these two terms are employed differently. Geirushin is just get out of here, right? I don't care where you go, I just want you to get out of here. Shlichus, lishloach, is different. The destination is important to me. I believe the destination matters, and the destination has purpose. Now, if you and I, based on this idea and insight of the Satmar Rav, were writing a language of the Metzora, what would we say? In all likelihood, we would employ the language of Geirushin. We would say, get him out of the camp. Get him out of here. I don't want him here. He's toxic. He's cancerous. Get him out of here. And yet, when the Pasuk says that we throw him out, it says, Vayishalchu oso lichutz l'machaneh. We throw him out, but it uses the language of shlichus. It means that there's a purpose to the mitzoras being expelled from the camp. We're not just trying to get rid of him because he's toxic, but there is some goal in where he is going. Says the Satmar Rav, this is a critical lesson for every single one of us. Every single one of us. Because he says, in our exile as well, these two words manifest themselves. On the one hand, we say, we are sent out of the land of Israel, mibnei chateinu, galinu me'aretzeinu, because of our sins, we were sent out from the land of Israel. There was Geirushin. Hashem said, you do not belong here, get out of here. This land is too holy, you're not living up to my expectations, you're a goner. But we also know that there's a second component to exile, and that is shlichus. So for example, the Gemara Pesachim says, lo higla kadosh baruch hu es Yisrael, ela kadesh yitosu aleim geirim. That the whole reason the Jewish people went into exile is so that we can spread the word of God. The Arizal says is that there's these nitzosos hakadusha, there are these sparks of holiness around the world, and our job in exile is to collect those sparks of holiness. Our job in exile is to be the mouthpiece of Hashem at all four corners of the earth. That Gemara existed, by the way, before Chabad did. We had an obligation to be in all four corners of the earth because that is our purpose in exile. So says the Satmar Rav, getting sent out of the land of Israel was for two reasons. Number one, there was a Geirushin. Hashem wanted us out. We weren't worthy. Get out of here. But there was also a Shlichus. Hashem says, and now I want you to be Ufaratzta. I want you to go to all four corners of the earth, and I want you to be my messengers there. I want you to bring the message of monotheism and ethics and values. I want you to bring it everywhere you go. And so no matter where you go, there's a purpose to you being there. That, says the Satmar Rav, is the message of the shlichus of the Metzora. That wherever we find ourselves in life, even in precarious situations, even in situations because of our own wrongdoing, there is a purpose to be filled in that situation. There is a mission that we are there to accomplish. And so even when it comes to the Metzora, there is a purpose for that. And here we come to a beautiful pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Lamed Zion, says, Me Hashem Mitzada Gaver Konenu. That Hashem, in every step that we take, says the Satmar Rav, Shebechol Tnua Upsi Shaholchim. Every step we take, every move we make, to quote, I think it was Shlachrak, Hu Kedei Lasos Ulatakein Davarma. Everywhere we go, Me Hashem Mitzada Gaver. Every step we take is from Hashem. Wherever we find ourselves, whatever situation we find ourselves in, wherever we find ourselves, there is a purpose to us being there. There is a toeles. There is a reason why we are there That is our shlichus from Hashem, says the Satmar Rav. That is the bracha we make every single morning. When we say, Hamechin mitzadei gaver, Hashem, you establish the feet of mankind. And what we're essentially saying is that wherever we find ourselves today, whether it's at the supermarket, whether it's at the gym, whether it's at an airport, wherever we find ourselves, we are on shlichus from Hashem. It is because you and I are meant to be there at that moment in time for some purpose. There's a very famous story of a chassid that was going to the West Coast, wanted to spend Yom Noraim with his Rebbe, and he was on the West Coast, he wants to go to the East Coast. He flies from LA to New York, error of Rosh Hashanah, engine trouble, lands in Texas, doesn't make it to the Rebbe. So he calls his Rebbe, he's distraught, he wants a bracha for a good new year, everything is lost. He said to the Rebbe, I'm stuck in Texas. The Rebbe responded to him, you're stuck? A Jew is never stuck. A Jew is sent. A Jew is sent. You are there because you were meant to be there. And that's the message of this pasuk of Vayasu Kain Bnei Yisrael Vayishalchu Osam El Michutz L'machane. That the Jewish people, wherever we are there for a purpose. We are never stuck. We are sent. And that is the lesson that we have to take ourselves everywhere we go. That is idea number one. To me, my favorite idea this morning, beautiful insight, Divrei Yoel, Satmarav, Parshas Naso. And again, I think it's something to think about. I think it's empowering, and it certainly will make for an important Shabbos table conversation. Idea number two comes from the Tzaras as well, of course. That's the narrative of the Parshios this morning. But it's from an unlikely place. This is from Rav Gamliel Rabinovitz. Rav Gamliel Rabinovitz, of course, was featured recently on the front page of Mishpacha magazine. But he puts out a beautiful Parsha sheet each week, and this comes from his Parsha sheet a number of years ago, which I had filed away in my files. Beautiful insight. We know that Tuma is one of the worst things, right? Tuma is one of the weightiest things. Tuma's mace, we call it an Av HaTuma. It creates havoc for a Jew. Nonetheless, we also know that despite the fact that Tuma is horrible, one of the worst forms of impurity that exists in Judaism, there's some very intricate, interesting halachas that apply to Tuma. So for example, let's say I know for sure that Reuven has Tzaras. I look at it, it looks like Tzaras, it smells like, everything about it is Tzaras. It's not Tzaras yet. It only becomes Tzaras when he goes to the Kohen and the Kohen declares it Tzaras. That is one of the interesting halachos. You can, almost without a doubt, have Tzaras, but it doesn't mean anything until the Kohen tells you that you have Tzaras. Now within that, there's a very interesting pasuk. Because the pasuk says, Uveyom haros bo basar chai yitma. Uveyom haros bo basar. On the day that I show the Kohen this, my skin. Says Rashi over there, what does it mean, uvayom? What does it mean, on that day? Says Rashi, ma talmud lomar, lilamed yesh yom she'ata ro'ebo, v'yesh yom she'inata ro'ebo. That there are days when you're going to show your blemish to the Kohen, and there are days where you are not going to show your blemish to the Kohen. What is the day that you are not going to show your blemish to the Kohen? Says Rashi, Mikan amru chasan nosnin lo kol shivas yamei amishte. Lo ulechasoso uleveso v'chein beregel nosnin lo kol yamei haregel. So let's take the following example. Let's say I got married. And at my honeymoon, buzzkill for the honeymoon, I get tzaras, right? Not exactly the way, right? You know, it says like rain on your wedding day. What's worse than rain on your wedding day? Tzaras on your wedding day. So you get tzaras on your wedding day, and your new wife looks at you, or your new husband looks at you and says, honey, that doesn't look so good. I think you got to go to the Kohen. So you say, nah, it's not so bad. I really think you got to go to the Kohen. So I go to the Kohen. The Kohen takes one look at me and says, when was your chasana? When was your wedding? I say, oh, it was just last night. Cohen goes, come back in 6 days. I say to the Cohen, what are you talking about? This is for sure Tzaras. Look at my arm. Look at my clothing. Look at the wall of my house. Cohen says, I don't even want to look at it. Come back to me in 6-7 days. Comes back 6-7 days. Cohen says, you're tummy. You say, but I was tummy all along. Cohen says, that's not how the laws of Tzaras work, right? You go on Pesach. Aliyah L'Regel. Think about the effort, right? We don't really appreciate the effort that went into Aliyah L'Regel. you had to leave your house, you had to leave your farm. It was a long trek, took a while to get there, it was uncomfortable, you're staying in someone else's house, it's crowded, the marketplaces, right? So you finally get to Yerushalayim. You feel so good about yourself. All of a sudden, you look at your arm, you say, oh boy, we have a problem. I know we just paid an enormous amount. Maybe we used points. We're at the Waldorf, right? Penthouse suite. But I have a tzaras. I have a nega. I have a blemish on my arm. I got to go to the kohen. Your wife says, you ain't going nowhere. I'm staying in the Waldorf for Pesach. You are not ruining my experience, right? You say, no, I got to go to the kohen. So you go to the kohen, right? He meets you in the lobby of the hotel. Kohen takes one look at you. You're all despondent. Says, I don't want to see you. Get out of here. Enjoy your Pesach. Come back. Say, but I got it on my arm. I don't want to look at you. Come back. 7 days you come back. Kohen says, you're tummy. You say, but I was tummy the whole time. Kohen says, that's not how tzaras works. Now, why doesn't tzaras work? That's the question Rav Gamliel Rabinovitz asks on this Rashi. What about these moments allows us to push off tumah, allows us to push off the laws of impurity, even though we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that this person is tameh? What allows us to push it off and say, come back in 7 days? Says Rav Gamliel Rabinovitz, a beautiful idea. He says, "Kin shinis bonin bedavar." When you think about this idea, you realize ad heichan magas ma'alas ha-simcha. You realize just how important feelings of simcha and happiness are. I can have the worst forms of tumah. We push off the tumah because of the simcha that I feel. So I have tumah on my wedding. Doesn't matter. You're too happy. We push off your tumah. I feel simcha on Pesach, on Sukkot, on Shavuos. That pushes off your tumah. So if you have tumah, but you also have simcha, you also have joy, says Rav Gamliel, the joy, the happiness pushes off whatever tumah is around us, whether physically or spiritually. And therefore he says, Hainu shiyesh bekoach ha-simcha lidchos afilu ha-tumah ha-chamura bi-yoser. Simcha has the ability to docha, it has the ability to push out all of the worst tumah in the world. Umikan ata lamed l'chol shar chavilin di'ikarin ha-mizorin al-adam. He says, any hardship a person is going through, any difficulty a person is going through, this applies as well. Shebekoach hasimcha lidchosam ulevalam. That joy, that choosing to be happy, can push all of that negative energy away. He quotes from Henoch of Alexander, who says, that's the pshat in the pasuk of Yeshayahu, ki besimcha teitzeu. What does it mean that I will go out with happiness? Says the Alexander Rav, shal yedei hasimcha, yizka adam latzeis mikol tzarosav. That it's through simcha, ki besimcha teitzeu. That if I'm in a difficult situation, if I'm in a challenging situation, ki besimcha teitzeu. It's the feelings of simcha that are going to get me out of that. It's the feelings of simcha that's going to allow me to find a way out. He says that's what the tzaddikim write. And I'm going to read the non-Yiddish translation here. But he says, atzvas eino avera. Sadness is not a sin in the Torah. But where sadness brings me, no sin can bring me. Right? Sadness is such a destructive force in Judaism that it will take me to a place far worse than anyone's sin. On the flip side, simcha ain't a mitzvah. Nowhere in the Torah do we see that simcha, that happiness, other than obviously sukkahs, that happiness is a mitzvah. But to where happiness can bring us, ein shum mitzvah yechol lahavi. No mitzvah can bring me to that point. So says Rav Gamliel Rabinovitz, wherever we find ourselves, if we find ourselves in metaphoric tumah, in a difficult situation, ki besimcha teitzeu, it's through happiness that we are able to get ourselves out of that situation. Of course, we know the famous Rav Moshe says, why is it that so many people who came to America, Shomer Torah Mitzvos, and yet their children weren't? Of course, there are no silver bullets. It's not so simple. But Rav Moshe says, because every time they fulfilled the mitzvah, they complained about it. Right? It's terrible to be a Jew. Terrible to be a Yid. Says Rav Gamliel, we have to fulfill Torah and mitzvos besimcha. Changes who we are. Changes our relationship with the world around us. Ki besimcha teitzeu. Whatever challenging situation we are in, it's not easy. but we have to work on our feelings of simcha, recognizing Yeshua Hashem Kerev Ayin, that we have a relationship with Hashem, the being who can control and change anything on a dime. I'll give you a proof for this, and it's an amazing proof. It comes from Megillas Esther. We host every year Rabbi Blumenthal from BRS West, and I made fun of him this year because he doesn't think I remember his Divrei Torah from one year to the next, but I do. And I called him out on it this year. I said, you say the same Divrei Torah every year. He says, because I like it. I said, good, now I like it too. Esther, if you remember back almost 6 weeks ago, Esther calls Haman to a party, Haman and Achashverosh to a party. Achashverosh says, I'll give you whatever you want. We may have even said this in some class. Esther says, all I want is for you to come tomorrow night to another party. Such a strange thing. Why two parties? Why does she wait until the second party to do the big reveal and the big request? She had everyone there at the first party. So I forget who he quotes. That part I don't remember. But he says, if you think about Haman's mindset at the first party, what mindset was Haman in? Haman was happy. The pasuk says, Vayetze Haman bayomahu sameach v'tov lev. Haman at the party was sameach v'tov lev. He was happy. He was joyous. He was euphoric. Esther invites only one other person to this big party. It was me. Everything's going great. Haman is besimcha. Esther realizes that as long as Haman is besimcha, I can't do anything against him. I'm never going to be able to defeat Haman. So strong is the power of simcha that Esther realizes she will not be able to defeat Haman. She will not be able to defeat Amalek so long as Haman is feeling simcha, so long as Haman is feeling joy. What happens at the second party? What happens right before the second party? Haman realizes he's not going to defeat Mordechai. That's where he comes in the middle of the night and Achashverosh says, what would I do to someone who rewards? And Haman says, you should take them through the town. And Haman thinks he's talking about him. And so he says, oh, this is going to be great. And then Achashverosh says, great, go take Mordechai. And Haman says, what? So he comes home that night. Ve'Haman nidchaf el beso. Haman returns to his house. Avel v'chafoy rosh. Haman is now despondent. He's distressed. He's depressed. And it's at that moment when Esther invites him to the second meal. And now she says, you don't feel happy anymore. You have feelings of sadness now. Now I can get you. Now I can defeat you. So much so is the power of simcha. That when we are besimcha, when we feel that connection to Hashem guarantees us a certain security, whether in this world or in the next world, that gives us a feeling of simcha. That makes us indestructible. It's when we give in to other feelings, that is when the problems begin. Ki besimcha teitzeyu. That if you want to depart from the hardships, we have to feel feelings of simcha. Obviously, this is challenging. It's been a long year of COVID. Many of us are still in it. Even if we're emerging from it, it's not as clear-cut as we were hoping it would be. It's so easy. It's so easy to feel saddened and anxious and depressed, and those are all understandable emotions. But we also have to recognize Yeshua Hashem Kerev Ayin. We have on our side the greatest force in the world. It's called HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we have to work on feeling simchas like we won the lottery, like we have a relationship with the person who can fix all of our problems, whether he chooses to or not. That's up to him. We don't question, but at least that is what gives us the feeling of simcha. That is idea number two. So idea number one was the Divrei Yoel. I know we're going a little bit over time. I apologize. The Divrei Yoel, the difference between Gerushin and Shlichus. Shlichus means that there's a purpose. Everywhere we find ourselves, there is a purpose. We're never stuck, right? That is where we're supposed to be. Idea number two was Rav Gamliel Rabinovitz, the beautiful idea about simcha, the power of simcha to push out any darkness. And lastly, this comes from an Or HaChaim on the Parsha. The Or HaChaim says on the Pasuk, Adam kiyeh be'or bisaro, that a person has a blemish on their body, says the Or HaChaim. What does it mean? Or bisaro? Kiyeh be'or bisaro modia kasav she'ein tumas saras b'isha Yisraeli. Notice how it doesn't say, I have a blemish. It says, my skin has a blemish. Right? She'ein tumas saras b'isha Yisraeli. The tuma is not on me. Ela be'or bisaro. Rather, it's on my skin. But velo bifnim, says the Or HaChaim. It's not who I am. I might make a mistake. My actions might be wrong. But who I really am, my essence, that always remains pure. Says the Or HaChaim, that is the language of Kiev Be'or Bisaro. Uvenefesh Yisrael Bigpigo Bam Litzad Achid Asher Yechta. Even when a Jewish person sins, even when a Jewish person makes a mistake, the blemish always remains external. It is on my skin, but who I am, my nefesh, that always remains pure. And that's why we say, right, the Gemara says, Atem Kruim Adam, right, that even when we sin, right, Afal Pi Shechata Yisraelu, even though we sin, we are still considered Jewish people. And that is the lesson number 3 that I want to share with you this morning. A reminder that as we come into 2 parshios, having to do with Negayim, having to do with mistakes, egregious mistakes, mistakes of Lashon Hara, of spreading slander, of speaking negatively about other people, of cynicism, right? All of these horrible sins, they drive wedges between people. They ruin lives. We've spoken about in the past that words can either be sins or they can be bullets. They could kill someone. They can ruin lives, right? Horrible sins. But it's always important to remember that it's Be'or Bisaro, that those sins are on our skin, but they're not who we are. Who we are is a chelek eloka mimal. We are a part of Hashem. We are given a pure, holy, spiritual neshama. And no matter how many mistakes we've made, and no matter how far we've fallen, afal pishachata Yisraelu, we will always maintain that pintel yid. We will always maintain that pure, holy kedusha inside every single one of us. Rav Huttner writes this idea in his Pachad Yitzchak on Pesach. When he says, "Ein haMitzvah shel Avas Reim Mispareshes Shiyahav Adam Shehu MiYisrael," Avas Yisrael does not mean that I love someone who is a Jew. Ella Shiyahav Adam MiYisrael. Rather, I love a Jew Mipnei Shehu Yisrael, because he is a Jew. That is the reason why I love him. Haynu Shegam Tama Ava Nichnas BeKlal Mitzvah. The love is the mitzvah. And that's what it means, v'haftal reyecha. Sheteyahav oso dafka b'shvil hu reyecha. You know why I love you, and I love every single one of you? Because at the end of the day, we come from the same maker. We come from the same cloth. We all have that same chelek eloka mimal with inside each and every one of us. And even though we all make mistakes, and even though we are all imperfect, that is be'or b'saro. That is not in who we are. Umemela says Rav Huttner Nimsa Lefizetim Ruvain Oev Adam Yisrael, that if Ruvain loves someone from another Jew, Ve'eno Makir Bo Shehu Yisrael, but he doesn't realize that he's a Jew, Hare Sibas Avazo Eina Bi Yisraeli Chalaneb, Dehai Ava Stam Ibli Tam Nidrash B'mitzozo. In other words, that's almost like an incompletion. If I love someone, but not, the whole reason I love a Jew is because they are a Jew. It's because they are a yid, just like I am. It's because they have that chelek eloka mimal, just like I do as well. And so, Adam, kieh be'or, bisaro, is a lesson to each and every one of us that it's only external. Internally, we all have that pintel yid. Internally, we all have that beautiful, pure, holy, sacred neshama. It's the reason why we never give up on another Jew. It's the reason why we do outreach, no matter how far a Jew has fallen. It's the reason why we love every Jew, even though they make sometimes horrible mistakes. And while we don't condone the actions, and while we have to speak out against many of the actions, we have to condemn the actions. But the person, we always believe a person maintains their holy, sacred neshama. So we saw 3 beautiful, hopefully inspirational ideas. Idea number 1, again, came from the Divrei Yod, the Satmar Rav. The difference between Gerushin and Shlichus. And why do we send the Mitzora out with Shlichus? It's a reminder to every single one of us, no matter where we are, and no matter where we find ourselves, that is where we are meant to be. That a Jew is never stuck, but rather a Jew is sent. Beautiful, beautiful line, something to take with you. That's HaMechin Mitzadei Gaver. It's the bracha we say every single morning. Hashem, wherever you take me, may it be from you. May you give me a purpose. May there be a reason. May I understand the reason. May I fulfill your shlichus. Number 2 came from Rav Gamliel Rabinovitz, Tiv HaLicha HaKehila, where he talks about the power of simcha, the strength of happiness. I added on my own vort, Rabbi Blumenthal's own vort from Megillas Esther, but it's kibis simcha teitzeyu. We find ourselves in difficult situations. We will get out of it not by feeling sad, but by feeling happy, joyous, recognizing that we've won the lottery, we have a relationship with the Creator, the Almighty Himself. We get to have an audience with Him to express our pain and suffering whenever we need it. That alone should give us feelings of simcha. And last is the power of Kedushas Yisrael. Ki Adam kiyeh be'or bisaro, says the Or HaChaim. It's a reminder that the nega is only on your skin. It's only in external. Internally, my pnimius, who I am on the inside, afal pi shechata, even though I'm imperfect, Yisrael hu. I'm still a Jew. I'm still a Yid. That means we have to love every Jew. It means we have to look out for every Jew. It means that even though we discredit the actions, we love the person. And that is something, obviously, during Sfiras HaOmer, as we're marking the march from Pesach to Shavuos, the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva, the 33 days of mourning, to work on this notion of Avas Yisrael. Says Rav Huttner, we don't just love Jews. We love them because they are Jews, because they are Re'echa, because they have that same Pintala Yid that you and I have as well. And with that, I wish everyone a beautiful, meaningful, and inspirational Shabbos.